Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary live Seneca series. And this is the Divine Will ebook series, where we methodically take Father Joseph Leo Annuzzi's doctoral dissertation, and we methodically go through it slowly, hopefully, to get the full essence and the full breadth of what he's done. And I'll explain that in a moment. We're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer. And in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. We thank you, most holy Trinity, for enabling us to enter into union with you by means of prayer. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Fiat. The School of Mary invocation. O Mary, Mother of Mercy, Queen of the Divine Will, please teach us to love Jesus and live in the spirit of our vocation more and more, the spirit of faith, hope, and love, the spirit of obedience and of loving the holy will of God, the spirit of chastity, poverty, and humility, the spirit of mercy and apostolic zeal for the salvation of souls, especially those whom the boundless mercy of your divine Son has entrusted to us. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, please pray for us. Fiat. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. So again, just a joy to be together again. Grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly, truly blessed to be alive at this time. Sorry about the mishap last Friday with the late notice of the cancellation, but we're back. We miss every session of this. Just for those who are joining us new, or those who are going to view this and listen to this who have never participated before, just a quick a summary of what the dissertation is. Back in 1999 or so, the then Archbishop of Corrado, I think it was Archbishop Pacheri, asked Father Annuzzi to translate all of Luis's writings from Italian to English. And Father did so. He's fluent in both languages, in multiple languages besides that. And Father was so enamored, was so moved by what he translated, that he decided to use Luis's writings for his doctoral dissertation. And what he set out to do is he set out to prove that everything that Luisa penned, everything that Jesus and our Blessed Mother dictated to Luisa, is grounded and found in our faith, in our Catholic Church. And he successfully defended that with abrogation. So it's amazing what we have. Again, we're awaiting, the critical edition to be released by Rome. But we recognize, too, based on the Archbishop's communication to us back in, I think it was March 4th, 2020, he mentioned there's nothing wrong with the cause of beatification. However, there are some ambiguities. There are some situations and parts of the writings that cannot be explained at this time by the Church to the faithful. They need a theologian. They need someone very well versed in Italian, in English, who knows the divine will, from front to back, who knows the catechism, who knows the Church. Again, a theologian. We think it's Father Annuzzi would be the perfect person. In fact, I think he's done it already, but they haven't asked him yet. So the dissertation, what Father did was he summarized, basically on a subject level basis, he summarized Luis's writings, gave us a summary, and then drives us into the volumes, into the passages where Jesus and our Blessed Mother corroborate, sustain, and support Father Annuzzi's summary. So again, this is an incredible gift we have. Again, we don't know when the critical edition is going to be out, but this summary and passages that support the summary has the Church's seal of approval, has the abrogation. So this is everything. And if you want to know what it looks like this when it's in really bad shape. And it's available on Father's website, livinginthedivinewill.org, or you can just go on our website under Father Annuzzi and it'll link you to his website. Hello, Maureen. I'm going to unmute Maureen now because when I start talking, I start to forget what I'm saying.
Hi, Peter. Hi, everybody. Welcome.
Everything is good. Everything is good. We're really blessed to be here. And thank you, Maureen, for taking the time. I know you've got a really, really busy schedule.
So we're going to jump into it. Everybody's
busy. Yeah, they really are. I mean,
yeah.
And I think some of that we really have to work on because, you know, I mean, we can't invent more hours of the day, but we can make better use of the time that we do have. So it's hard. But again, for those who made themselves available for this and for those who are going to listen on the website and the archives, you know, it's just a treasure because it's not my work. It's not Maureen's work. You know, these are the writings of Luis. These are the writings of our Blessed Mother, of our Blessed Lord. And this is the dissertation of Father Inuzzi, which again has the abrogation of the Gregorian University authorized by the Holy See. So we have everything we need. We talked about this too. The divine will is just this one major cog. It's just a massive cog. And with any cog, there has to be a power supply. There has to be a force driving all the cogs. And of course, we know who that is. That's Christ right here. Now, when Adam fell, this mechanism was put on hold. Yes, Christ continued to cog. I can't do it, though, with this limited access I have here. He continued. But again, Adam disconnected. So with disconnecting from Christ, from God the Father, he could not pass it down to us little cogs. See, that the idea of the cog is to take the main power, pass it to a cog close to it, which almost retains the same power, and then pass it along so that all cogs are powered. And if you want to read more about this in a much more articulate way than I just described, I promise you, it's found in Volume 16, February 2nd, 1924. A great, great passage. Please listen to that if you could. You know, the divine will also, when we first began journeying, we may have felt like it was cloudy, like it was foggy, like we weren't understanding things. Father Inuzzi gave a great statement once. He said, "The divine will is very difficult to explain with words, but very easy to understand once we accept it." And if you think about that, when we accept it, we're given the grace and graces to understand it. You know, God, he gives us the analogy of lights. And let's say we're walking through a dark cave for just a little silly analogy. But every time we're taking a step forward, we're having the courage to go forward. We don't know what we're going forward into, maybe, perhaps. But as we move forward, as we take that step, a light goes on. And now we can see our steps. And we can see a little bit ahead of us. And as we take those subsequent steps, more lights are being generated by Christ. And these lights not only are bringing us closer to where we need to be, to the center of the divine will, but every time one of these lights are exposed, are generated, are given to us, it's an explosion of grace, graces, knowledges, truths, and understanding. Without taking that step and without that light of Christ, we could never understand this on our own. We can read it every day for the rest of our life. But without the grace, without the mystical gift and gifts that God gives us. And remember, mystical gifts are not granted to us equally like our baptismal gifts. They're given to us to whomever God pleases, when he pleases, to whatever extent he pleases. And we have to realize that we've been given at least one mystical gift, and that is that we recognize the divine will as being something extraordinary, something out of the ordinary, something great. The greatest, as Jesus says. And that's why we're here. Thanks be to God for everything he's given to us. So we're on the summary by Father Inuzzi, the elaborations here. We're going to take the entire passage down because we're actually literally after, I think, 2.5, maybe three months, Maureen. I think we're finally on the last footnote, 275. So we're gonna come down through this. I'm just going to bring the pointer out because I may need it later. And I won't interrupt you, I promise, and we'll just take it from there.
5.3.7.1.1, Elaborations of P.G. Renzi's. Noteworthy is P.G. Renzi's application of the Maximian divinization that is realized in man and that is unattainable by man's efforts, as it is God's pure favor. In presenting Maximus's preliminary stage of man's potential being that is situated in the mind of God to the stage of his created being that occurs in the act of creation, P.G. Renzi's lays the foundation for Maximus's final stage of man's transformation of being into eternal being that occurs with the consent of his free human will. This transformation is an act of pure grace that culminates in divinization and establishes the continuous link of man's temporal being with God's eternal being. Similarly, Louisa affirms that God's gratuitous gift of living in the divine empowers man to continuously cooperate with his eternal being that transcends man's finite and temporal being. This gift is realized by virtue of God's great, unheard of, and long chain of graces that impart to his soul continuous growth, whereby the acts of man's finite being are absorbed, raised, and transformed by the operation of God's eternal being. God's eternal being, an operation which alone brings about in man the continuous link of the eternal with the temporal, whereby the one is multiple and the multiple is one, is rediscovered in Louise's text, where the continuous cooperation of prelapsarian Adam's being with the divine will of God's being forged the bond, the union of the one in many. Through Maximus's theology of divinization and Louise's theology on the gift of living in the divine will, there emerges the reality of the human creature becoming by grace what God is by nature.
And Father Iannuzzi articulated exactly what we were trying to express here. Everything is a gift. Everything is a final transformation. It's the final completion of what God has been doing and His Blessed Mother has been doing for 6,000 years. You know, Maureen, one word or one phrase that is often repeated in this paragraph is continuous, a continuous link. Continuously cooperate, continuously. That's the key, because in the beginning, we're going to be in and out of the divine will. And Jesus explains that to us. He says that, okay, there are four criteria that Jesus explains that are necessary for us to journey in the divine will. That is, we need to be in the state of grace. We have to have an ardent desire. We have to ask for the gift, and we have to have an upright intention, meaning that we want this for all souls, past, present, not just for ourselves and our family. So that allows us to enter into it. Now, I think there's a misconception of living in the divine will. I think many times when somebody says that, right away, I think we jump to the conclusion, living in the divine will means living perfectly like Louisa did. That's not necessarily true. There are a zillion stages of living imperfectly in the divine will. In essence, our job is, again, if this is a mansion of God, this divine will, our job is to get our foot in the door or our body in the window. We want to get into the mansion however we can. There's multiple doors, there's multiple windows. Some of us may come in through the hours of the Passion, some Virgin Mary of the Kingdom, some through the volumes. Okay, it doesn't matter how we get in, as long as we get in. And then our ardent desire will, again, like in that cave, allow us to keep taking those steps and God illuminating our steps, giving us the grace and graces to understand. So everything comes from God, but He waits for our initiation. He waits for us to make the first move, in essence, to take the first step. Just like our Blessed Lady, perfect example. She said fiat to the angel. She took that first step forward, and then God did all the rest. He's going to do the same for us. He promises that. And, you know, talking about the, again, this wasn't planned, but, you know, talking about the continuity, the continuous link, there's a passage I think I have at the end here, Maureen. Maybe we can just put some flavor on that as well. I think Father gives us a little indication of that. Sorry if you're getting a little dizzy here, but I think right here, I think would be a nice way before we go into the footnote.
Okay. Supernatural operative principle of the divine will, 4.1.11. God's efficacious grace and incomprehensibility. Since everything not attainable by means of sensitive experience that is immaterial or spiritual remains absolutely a mystery to man, it is often beyond man's ability to fully fathom God's one eternal operation continuously engaged in the created human soul. for the finite natural capacities of man, limited to the formation of ideas, cannot exhaust the impenetrable mysteries of God's immaterial realities. The human mind can nevertheless grasp to some extent the idea of the will of the three divine persons, sustaining with its uncreated power and with efficacious grace the soul's finite acts without impairing its free will. It is precisely on account of the infinite distance that passes between man's finite human nature and God's eternal divine nature that Louisa describes God's eternal operation in man as incomprehensible to the human mind and miraculous.
So we're not going to understand this completely. We're not going to always get it, but we have to trust. We have to have confidence. We have to have faith in God. And as we're reading these passages, some things may seem so foreign to us, but if we trust and if we have that desire, that ardent desire, do we yearn for the understanding? Do we yearn to learn the language of heaven? It's not another vernacular. It's not like Spanish or French or Russian. The language of heaven is the understanding, the penetratable knowledges of God that he's conveying to us through our vernacular, because that's the way he's going to communicate with us initially, just to sort of break the ice, so to speak. So I think this is a great paragraph, a summary about the efficacious grace. And again, the incomprehensibility of the human mind to take this all in. That's why God gives us little by little, bit by bit. You know, he told the disciples, there's much more I have to tell you, but you're not yet ready. You're not disposed yet. It's not time. So God has been weeding us along this journey for 6,000 years. But he does tell Louisa, the time is now. Everything's done. Everything is ready. This has to be known and this has to be shared. I forget what volume that's in, but that's exactly what Jesus says. Okay, try to take us off a little bit, but that's really a great sentence. And again, that 4.1.11, that's the number, the numerals that you can find that passage in Father's dissertation. And by the way, Father's dissertation, you can purchase it on his website. He's not in the book selling business, but he of course, he asks a nominal fee so that he can, in order for him to produce more books. If you're in a situation where the situation is compromised financially and you cannot afford Father's dissertation, send an email to us, please, at marysill@queenofthedivinewill.org. And I promise we'll get you a copy, okay, at no cost. Okay, so money should never be an object here. So if you want this, we'll get it to you. And if you can't get it yourself, okay. Let's go back up, Maureen, without getting dizzy here. Sorry about this. Okay, so this is footnote number 275. But you know what, Maureen? I'm so... Constancy, we were just talking about constancy in this. I don't think I'm going to go now because I think we'd consume too much time. But I think next week, I think we'll come back to this and we'll read about constancy and about the importance of it. That's what keeps that common denominator, that common link. Remember, that's what Adam had until he took his gaze off God. When he took his gaze off God, similarly to when Peter took his gaze off Christ when he was walking on water and then realized I'm walking on water and he sank. So we can never lose that gaze. And that doesn't mean we're looking at a picture of Jesus while we're driving. That's not what it means. But God must always be in our minds and our thoughts and our actions. And remember, he tells us, he's looking, he's watching. He's, in essence, in a nice way, spying on us. He wants to know how we're handling this. He wants to know how we're doing. He constantly gives us these quizzes because it's in the quizzes that we're going to learn how to really pass the final test. And I think that's everything that he wants it to be and everything that he has done for us. So again, there emerges the reality of the human creature becoming by grace what God is by nature. And that's footnote number 275. We're going to stop at times here too to have a little discussion.
Volume 16, November 24th, 1923. The story of the divine will. The Most Holy Virgin made all the acts of the divine will her own. In this way, she prepared the food for her children. This is why she is mother and queen of the divine will. Louisa must do the same for the work of the fiat. I was doing the hour of the Passion, in which the sorrowful Mama received her dead son into her arms and placed him into the sepulcher. And I was saying in my interior, My Mama, together with Jesus, I place all souls into your arms, that you may recognize them all as your children. Inscribe them one by one into your heart and place them in the wounds of Jesus. They are children of your immense sorrow, and this is enough for you to recognize them and love them. And I want to place all generations in the supreme will so that no one may be missing. And in the name of all, I give you comfort, compassion, and divine relief.
Again, and among a myriad of other things, what Louisa has demonstrated here is she's demonstrated one of those requisites, those prerequisites of receiving this gift, having an upright intention. You notice she's not saying, you know, Lord, please take care of me. Please take care of my family. You know, make sure that I do this. Make sure I do that. She's thinking first and foremost of all souls. And she's bringing to the attention of our Blessed Mother through her love and her charity. That our Blessed Mother, she's pleading with her to please recognize all these souls as being yours. You know, so she was almost deferring from herself any attention that the human race was being given by our Blessed Mother. She was saying, look at all of us. And that's the upright intention. Again, wanting this gift in charity, not just for ourselves, not just for our immediate family, but for all souls. That's a requirement. That's one of the four requisites. And Louisa does an incredible job here. Demonstrating that and giving us this perfect example of filial love for all souls, past, present, and future. Anything to add to that, Marie?
Well, I always think of Our Lady, how she always says, pray for, or the sisters used to say, pray for the conversion of sinners. And this reminds me of it because we're praying for all souls. We're not just praying for people who we know and love or people who we thought were good people, or we're praying for all people. All the people that we see that are doing terrible things, or that heads of countries that are causing wars or whatever, doctors that perform abortions, we're praying for all people. And it just it's so Jesus and Mary. It's like a search and rescue. It's not about us growing holiness. It's about us helping to save all souls. And like Louisa says, that none will be missing. You know, it's like we're trying to get on a boat. We're pulling them all up. Come on, you know, throwing out the life preservers. Get on, get on. It's like you just have to have compassion for all souls. You know, I try and tell my kids that if you're mad at somebody, you say this person did it. I said, you have to have compassion. Once you have compassion, it's easy to forgive. Or, you know, say, well, maybe they have a bad family life, or maybe other things are happening that, you know, they didn't ever had love or whatever. Whatever it is, it takes you to have compassion, do it, because that's what we need to have. We can't be judging and pointing fingers. We'll never want to pray for anybody. You have to pray for all souls. That's it's true. Very comforting. It's very comforting.
No, it is. And you know, if we really think about it, but by not having the compassion, we run the risk of derailing ourselves, really, because of getting, you know, our mind getting consumed with what he did or what he did. You know, that's not where we need to spend our time. So I think that's really important. And I think it was also in Fatima that Our Lady said that many souls are going to hell because there aren't enough people praying for them. So she's giving us this advice. Every apparition that she's ever had has had as its sole purpose to bring the children back to her son in his most holy divine will. God explains that everything he's done, creation, redemption, sanctification, of course, all that he's given us throughout the 6,000 years, including everything in the 2,000 years, the entire church, the sacraments. He says all of this has been, it's in volume 16, all of this has been given to us as a means, as a way, as a seed to bring us back to the order, the place, and the purpose for which we were created by God. So Our Lady's intention was always primary to bring us back to the divine will, everything she's done. Louisa's intention was to support that mission. And Jesus, of course, articulates that point blank. He says, everything I've done has been for that reason. So we know where the goalpost is. We know where the end game is. We just have to get there. And some of us are going to get there quicker than others. It doesn't matter how fast we get there, as long as we get there. Yeah, we all walk slowly. We all walk. Some walk faster, some walk slower. Some run faster, some run slower. It's okay. Doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter. All we need to do is trust God. Say, Fiat, Lord, I want this. I don't fully understand it. I don't know how you're going to do this, but I'm willing to take the ride with you. I want a journey with you. That's all we really have to do. So it really is easy if you think about it. It's incredible. Thanks for the sharing, Maureen. Okay.
Now, while I was saying this, my sweet Jesus moved in my interior and told me, my daughter, if you knew with what food my sorrowful mama nourished all these children, and I, what was it, oh my Jesus? And he again, since you are my little one, chosen by me for the mission of my will, and you live in that fiat in which you were created, I want to let you know the story of my eternal will, its joys and its sorrows, its effects and its immense value, what it did and what it received, and the one who took its defense to heart.
God is giving us what has never been given before, since the fall of man, since Adam. He's giving us what's never been given. When Father Celso says he saved the best for last, he really has. If he gave this to the disciples, as Jesus articulated, it wasn't time. They weren't ready. Souls, humanity was not ready for it. He had over 2,000 years give us all these levels of support so that if we stumble and fall, we don't fall all the way to the basement again. We fall down a step or two and we climb back up again. And that's why we have the saints. That's why we have the mystics. That's why we have the church. That's why we have the sacraments. You have the divine, you know, why is it a mortal sin to miss church? Because you should be in the building? No, because the divine will is in the Eucharist. The divine will for that 15 minutes is preparing us to receive this perennial communion, this continuous, again, we talk about continuity, this continuous communion. That's why, you know, Jesus says the divine will is greater than the Eucharist. It's not God's greater than God, but what is greater, God for 15 minutes or God for eternity? All the time. Of course, all the time. So that's why it's so important to go to Mass. That's why it's so important to receive the Holy Communion in the state of grace and to journey ever closer every day, every Sunday. And then during the week, we build on that. We're not just a Sunday people. We don't just go on Sunday and get our little boost and then the rest of the week we forget about what we're doing. No, this is our life. This has to be our life. And that's part of the ardent desire. In fact, if you want to know what he's expecting of us to construct an ardent desire, Father Inuzzi extracted it from the volumes. He gave it to us and we created the visual. It's on the website, queenofthedivinewill.org. It's on the page entitled Divine Will Visual Aids. And just click on Ardent Desire. And these are all the components that Jesus articulated to Louisa that he wants to see and find in the soul to form and to possess an ardent desire. Because that's one of the requirements. Without those four requirements, you know, we may not receive this gift. Remember, state of grace, ardent desire, ask for the gift. He wants us to ask for the gift and have an upright intention. So we've already had the upright intention. We just talked about the second requisite. We may even hit the other two while we go forward on this. Because again, everything is here. God is giving us, this is the full explication. This is, and again, our church is prepared for this. It's in our catechism. It's Article 66. It states, although no new public revelations are expected before the glorious return of our Lord, it is for the future generations to better understand what has already been given to us. That's what the divine will is. That's what the Book of Heaven is doing. It's explicating Scripture. It's explicating all our tradition. It's explicating everything God and His Blessed Mother have given to us. It's making it better understood. And then if you go to the next, just a little caveat, if you go to the next catechism article, Article 67, it describes the role of the mystic. The role of the mystic is not to complete revelation, but rather to make it better understood in a certain period of time. It's all there. The church is perfectly poised to receive this gift. They just don't fully understand it at this point. but they will. Oh, and by the way, Maureen, I think Jesus even says that. He's like toying with Luis. He says, you know, the church is going to take a long time with this because they're going to try to understand this in human terms. And it's impossible. This is a divine reality. They cannot keep it on a human level. And just like Pope Benedict Emeritus said many years ago when he had an audience of cardinals and bishops, he says, we have to remember we cannot explain everything about our faith. Some things are unexplainable. Some things must be left to faith. And that's so true.
I think that's why it's easier for people, the simple, to accept this, because they go at it like, oh, I don't get it all, but that's okay. It's all right. I don't have to get it all. I'll be reading this for the rest of my life and eventually I'll get it. Where the learned are like, well, this doesn't make sense. I don't get it. And they stop reading. So it's the simple, the humble, that it's easier for them to accept, because they see that we're just human and this is divine. And eventually we'll get it. But if we don't get it right away, that's okay. We'll just keep reading it. It's beautiful. I mean, it's Jesus's words. Why would you not want to read it? Even if you don't get every little thing. So what else would you rather read? This is beautiful.
You know, Maria, I think Jesus exemplifies that also. He proves that by, let's see who he chooses. He chooses Father Gobi for the Marian movement of priests. Father Gobi was ridiculed because he couldn't say a mass very well. You know, he was a simple priest, a holy priest. Sister Faustina, they wouldn't let her do much other than sweep the floor because she was sort of like a servant of the sisters. Mm-hmm. Louisa had less than a first grade education. Yeah. And last but not least, we're here. He chose us nobodies. So God has proven this. He's got a track record of what he says he's going to do. And we have an obligation to prove him not wrong, that he selected us, that he allowed us to enter into this dimension, if we can call it. I don't know what to describe. I don't know how to say it. But he has allowed us to journey with him to a place very few have ever gone, and very few are actually going initially. So he's asking us to step in the breach. He's asking us to do on behalf of all. He's asking us to substitute for all souls. In fact, in volume 12, April 2nd, 1921, Jesus says, what the soul does, she does for all. End quote. I mean, God is giving us this opportunity to be a hero, to be a humble hero, to do for everyone who can't do, to do for everyone who won't do, to do for everyone who doesn't know they have to do. We're doing it in place of them. How important is our little work, is our littleness, is our little nothing? It's huge to God, and it should be huge to us. This is everything. This is our all. This is our life. Whether we like it or not, but we won't like it. If we don't like it, we're going to love it. And if we're just liking it now, we're going to love it very, very soon. The more we read, I think, the more we meditate, the more we allow God to flash and to illuminate our path, the more we're going to understand the terrain. We're going to be able to negotiate our steps better. We're going to be able to move forward at a quicker pace. But again, we're not worried about, this is not a speed. It's not a race. We don't have to worry about who finishes first, as long as we all get to the finish line, as long as we all get to the prize. And the prize is, again, to come back to the prelips heir of Adam. That's where God's taking us. And he's going to do it unless we stop it. We're the only one that can stop it. And let's pray we don't do that. Okay. Okay, we can start here.
Okay. Please. Little ones are more attentive in listening to me because their minds are not filled with other things. They are as though empty of everything. And if one wants to give them other food, they feel disgusted, because, being little, they are used to taking only the milk of my will, which, more than a loving mother, keeps them attached to its divine breast to nourish them abundantly. And they remain with their little mouths opened, waiting for the milk of my teachings, and I amuse myself very much. Oh, how beautiful it is to see them now smiling, now rejoicing, now crying, in hearing me narrate the story of my will.
What an analogy that our Blessed Mother can articulate here as she feeds us. She feeds us like a good mother what we need. She feeds us the nourishment proper for growth, just like a good mother and a good father does. They don't feed a baby or a two-year-old, you know, candy bars all day long. You give good food so that they're healthy, they're strong. And that's what God is doing in a spiritual way. So we're going to start, our tastes are going to begin to change. Jesus, I think, uses the word, he's going to change our palate. And I think I can compare this to, like, for example, when we're younger, and there's certain foods that perhaps we liked and some we disliked. And now as we get older, those ones we dislike, we kind of like. And, you know, so that changes, I think, with our age and maybe with our taste buds, nurse. I'm not sure how that exactly works. But God is going to change our palate. He's going to allow us to recognize the proper nourishment, not just physically, spiritually, and to recognize that the greatest, most nutritious spiritual food that we can ever consume is found in the Book of Heaven, is found in the Virgin Mary of the Kingdom, is found in the hours of the Passion. It's found in everything. And Luisa's letters are incredible. It's found in everything that comprises this gift of living the divine will through the writings of Luisa Picaretta. Everything. And that's why we toss nothing aside. But yeah, we can have favorites. Of course, we can have a liking. Like we said earlier, some of us may come in through the door of the hours of the Passion. That may be our way into the divine will, or the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, or maybe volume 12. Or maybe volume 14. It doesn't matter, as long as we get in. And once we get in, if we have that desire, it's all going to come to fruition. It's all going to be given to us. That's really how I think, how simple. Maybe I'm just looking at it wrong, but that's how simple it really is. I think the most difficult thing is taking that first step. It is having the initiative to say, okay, God, I want you to lead. I want you to drive this car. I'm going to sit in the back seat. That's very, you have to trust the driver to do that. And we have to trust God. We have to do our part. We have to trust God. He's going to light our path. We just have to open our eyes. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Well, then, the origin of my will is eternal. Never did sorrow enter into it. Among the divine persons, this will was in highest harmony, or rather, it was one. In every act it issued forth, both ad intra and ad extra.
Okay, I just want to stop there quickly, because a lot of times we use phrases and terms and we either forget what it means or don't even know what it means. It took me a while on this also. Maybe one day we'll talk about ad intra and ad extra. But just really quickly, I've got just a blip here to help us understand.
Ad intra, the Trinity's eternal operation. Ad extra, the Trinity's external operation.
So I think it's easy to remember. X, X, N, E. Like, I guess, you know what I mean. And we can, maybe next time, maybe we'll draw some examples of both, just to clarify that more. But I don't think we have time right now. Okay.
It gave us infinite joys, new contentments, immense happiness. And when we wanted to deliver the machine of creation, how much glory, how much honor and harmony did it not give to us? As soon as the fiat was unleashed, this fiat diffused our beauty, our light, our power, order, harmony, love, sanctity, everything. And we remained glorified by our own virtues in seeing, through the fiat, the blossoming of our divinity concealed in the whole universe. Our will did not stop, swollen with love as it was, it wanted to create man, and you know his story. Therefore, I move forward.
And we know this. God wants to see in each and every one of us. He wants to see himself. He wants to see a reflection of perfection. God created us in the image and the likeness. The image we helped to restore at baptism. And now the likeness, well, how do you become like someone or something? Well, you have to know something about them. And that's why, you know, the Baltimore Catechism was so important when it stated, what is the purpose of our life? It's to know God, to love God, and to serve God in that order. Because as we know God, we're going to be drawn to love him. And as we love our Lord, we're going to be driven to serve him. And now we learn also that to love, to know, and to serve our Lord, to culminate that, to bring that to fruition, is to embrace the gift of living in the divine will. That is the ultimate satisfaction of God. That is the ultimate love expressed by us. That's the ultimate knowledge that we could possibly obtain. Everything is there. Everything has been there. Again, the divine will now is explicating everything that's been given to us, little by little. It's so incredible. Okay.
He was the one who caused the first sorrow to my will. He tried to embitter the one who loved him so much and who had made him happy. My will cried more than a tender mother who weeps over her son, crippled and blind, and only because he withdrew from the will of his mother. My will wanted to be the first agent in man, if for no other reason, to give him new surprises of love, of joys, of happiness, of light, of riches. It wanted to give always. This is why it wanted to act. But man wanted to do his will and broke it from the divine. If only he had never done that, my will withdrew and he fell into the abyss of all evils.
You know, when I read this, Marie, and I got to the point where God wants to give us new surprises of love, new joys, new happinesses, new light, new riches. And it reminded me of like a mother and a father on Christmas morning and having like a 3 or 4 year old. Mm-hmm. And every time they get a present and whatever it is, they're just ecstatic about it. You just see the joy and the screaming and then the happiness and the love and the hugs that happen from that. And it's as if that Christmas morning is every morning, is every afternoon, is every evening. In fact, Jesus says, it's December, volume 16, December 26th. I don't remember the year, but I'll put it in the email. Jesus actually states, living in the divine will, every day is like Christmas. Because of those same joys, those same expressions of love, the same happiness, same riches that we children experience on Christmas morning. It's all there in a spiritual sense, even greater than the material. But he draws that delineation. Every day is Christmas. And it is. Every day our Lord is being reborn in us in a greater capacity, on a greater level, to a greater extent. Every day, if we allow it. If we don't stop it, it's incredible.
Yeah. Okay. Now, in order to rejoin these two wills, one was needed who would contain a divine will within himself. Therefore, since I, eternal Word, love this man with an eternal love, we decreed among our divine persons that I was to take on human flesh in order to save him and rejoin the two broken wills.
Here, our Lord.
Can you believe we're reading this? I mean, wow. These are like secrets probably never divulged before.
I mean, not to trivialize what we just read, but, you know, we're learning that there was a powwow, for lack of a better expression.
Yeah.
And Jesus emerged as the one, the Lamb, to be sacrificed so that all children may live. The ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate brokenness, the ultimate abuse by fellow man, by his children, some knowing, some unknowing, just like today. But it is incredible. And you know, Maureen, since there is no time in the divine will, any of these excerpts we can take as a meditation and just find a quiet corner, perhaps, and close our eyes and just say, Lord, what was it like during that powwow? What was it like during the conversation between the Trinity when Jesus emerged as the one that will be sacrificed, that will lay down his life for his children? This is beyond. This is beyond our faith. This is beyond what we know. This is beyond our understanding or even our wants and desires. God is giving us way, way above what we're asking for. And he's doing it because he loves us. And all he's asking is if we love him back. He doesn't ask for much. It is it's totally incredible. Totally incredible. Okay, we're just about out of time. Maureen, do you have time for one more paragraph or no?
Sure.
Okay, yeah. We'll use this and we'll stop at this one.
Okay, but where to descend? Who was to be the one to provide her own flesh for her creator? This is why we choose a creature who, by virtue of the foreseen merits of the future Redeemer, was exempted from original sin. Her will and ours were one. It was this celestial creature that understood the story of our will. We narrated everything to her as to a little one. The sorrow of our will, and how ungrateful man, by breaking his will from ours, had constrained our will within the divine sphere, almost hampering it in its designs, preventing it from communicating to him its goods and the purpose for which he had been created.
I love ending the cynical speaking about our Blessed Mother. The celestial creature that understood the story of our will. We narrated everything to her. So that song, Mary, did you know? The answer is yes. What I'm going to send out also in the email, Maureen, I don't know if you've seen this yet, but my friend Larry sent me a link to a, I think it's a new movie. It's called Full of Grace. And it's a story about Our Lady's last one or two days on earth. And as the apostles come from all places of the earth to come with her. It's very well made. It's very simple. It's, you know, basically it's dark. It's basically in a almost like a cave type setting. But you see Mary. You see the example of Mary. You see the apostles clamoring, clinging to Mary, asking advice, asking guidance, and being fortified, being nourished by her. Same as what she's going to do with us, if we allow her to, in the divine will. She's there for us. She's our mother. And hence, that's why her favorite title is Mother and Queen of the Divine Will. That's her favorite title, she tells Louisa. So this is no coincidence. But yeah, I'll send that movie. It's beautiful. I watched it last night and it'll bring you to tears. Mm. We're going to stop here though, because speaking of tears, if I go too long, people may get upset. We'll be back. We actually will be back this Sunday. Let me see if I can scroll down here. This Sunday we have with us, Father Annuzzi. We'll begin the rosary and the adoration at 1:30. Father will join us at 2:15, about so, 2:15. And for an hour and 15 minutes, he'll take questions. So if you'd like to submit a question that is relating to a specific passage, Father would like to have it in advance so we can get the passage ready and not, you know, sort of waste some time. So if you can get the email to us at maryshill@queenofthedivinewill.org, if you can send that in, I'll take all the questions received by, let's say, 6 or 7 p.m. on Saturday evening. I'll forward it to Father. And then the other questions that don't pertain to a specific passage and need the attention of a specific passage, you can just ask sort of on the fly on Sunday. And the Father will just, you know, view the chat box and just to take the questions there. So again, we have an opportunity here to ask Father a question. You know, this is an incredible opportunity to have Q&A with Father every other week. So That's this Sunday, the 21st, beginning at 1:30. Thanks be to God for everything. I'd like to end on talking about rounds. This comes from volume 17, October 2nd, 1924. Effects of adoration in the divine will. We can praise God for everyone. End quote. Again, we're asked to substitute for all souls. So for those who are not in adoration, who don't go to adoration, who can't get to adoration, I'll read it again. Effects of adoration in the divine will. We can praise God for everyone. God will hear praise from all through us little people. It's not us doing this. God is doing everything for us. And he'll continue as long as we cooperate. Constancy. Always. And always thanks be to God. Thank you, Maureen. See everyone on Sunday. God bless.